A reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke. Some Sadducees, those who say that there is no resurrection, approached him, and they put this question to him. Master, we have it from Moses in writing that if a man's married brother dies, the man must marry the widow A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Some Sadducees, those who say that there is no resurrection, approached him, and they put this question to him. Master, we have it from Moses in writing that if a man's married brother dies childless, the man must marry the widow to raise up children for his brother. Well then, there were seven brothers. The first, having married a wife, died childless. The second, and then the third, married the widow. And the same with all seven. They died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman herself died. Now, at the resurrection, to which of them will she be wife, since she had been married to all seven? Jesus replied, the children of this world take wives and husbands, but those who are judged worthy of a place in the other world and in the resurrection from the dead do not marry, because they can no longer die. For they are the same as the angels, and being children of the resurrection, they are sons of God. And Moses himself implies that the dead rise again in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God not of the dead, but of the living. For to him all men are in fact alive. I remember in my childhood how much I detested the month of November. Pre-Vatican II liturgy urged us, as it were, to put on long faces. In masses for the dead, an empty coffin was placed in the aisle of the church. It was covered with a black cloth and surrounded by four or six huge candles, and on each candle a poster with a skull painted on it. No Alleluia, not even the Glory Be, could be recited in the liturgy for the dead. Instead, Requiem Aeternam was repeated over and over again. Thank God all this has changed now. No more fake coffins in the aisle. We have instead the Easter candle, which reminds us that Christ is alive. He is the resurrection and life. We started this month of November with two very important liturgical celebrations: the Solemnity of All Saints and the Commemoration of All the Faithful Departed. When I said these were two great celebrations, I meant not only from the liturgical point of view, but also from the point of view of theology and of our spiritual life. As a matter of fact, these two days have reminded us that we are one church and one people of God. This means that we are a church in pilgrimage, and we are in union with the church in glory and the church in purification. Today's readings remind us again of this important truth. All three readings, in fact, speak of the afterlife and the future resurrection. As we bear in mind this truth about our future, we are also immediately reminded of the practical implications of this truth. Belief in afterlife and in resurrection generate hope, and hope compels us to live always in view of this, our future destiny. Faith in the afterlife and in the future resurrection means that with our feet steadfast on the ground, our eyes are focused on heaven. As St. Paul tells the Colossians, you have been raised with Christ, and so seek the things that are above. And likewise, Jesus exhorts us, store up treasures for yourselves in heaven. For many, many centuries, the people of the Old Testament believed only in life on earth. The deceased went to Sheol, where there is no God to be revered. At a certain point in time, there was a breakthrough. God works in history and through history. In the book of Daniel and in the two books of the Maccabees, we read of the time of harsh persecution of the just, and at this time, a real belief in afterlife and in bodily resurrection is unambiguously affirmed. In this Sunday's first reading, taken from the second book of Maccabees, we have a very edifying example of an entire family, consisting of a mother and her seven sons, who were put to death for their faith. Their steadfast faith and the extraordinary courage they displayed astonished even the king and those who were with him. They proclaimed their unwavering faith in the resurrection, and this faith gave them the courage they needed to endure torture and death. The Gospel refers to a dispute between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The former believed in the resurrection, whereas the latter did not. The Sadducees put to Jesus a very strange question about a woman who had successively and lawfully married seven brothers. If this woman and the seven brothers rose from the dead, whose wife would she be? The way they formulated the question indicates the Sadducees' difficulty with the issue of the resurrection. They thereby wanted to stress and to prove how ridiculous this idea of the resurrection was. Jesus' reply is on a very different wavelength. God is the Lord of history, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God of the covenant that gave and still gives hope. He is the living God who makes the resurrection possible, the God who is life. If we believe in God, we must believe in the fullness of life after death. We are children of the resurrection because we are children of God. This God is not a God of the dead, but a God of the living, a God for whom all are called to live, in Him, with Him, and through Him. The Sadducees represent the views of a large segment of today's mankind, not only because many today reject any idea of an afterlife, but also because contemporary culture is, in the words of Pope John Paul II, a culture of death. People who live in the contemporary world believe more in death than in life. Against this background, we can appreciate more and more the richness and depth of the biblical view of life and death. And Christian faith gives us what contemporary culture cannot give: hope.